Hello and welcome to the next series in the podcast Discipleship in Challenging Times. Today's episode is entitled Faith and Deeds, and we are looking at some verses that are at the very heart of the book of James and the very heart of his argument. James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. We ask for God's help in prayer. Lord, as we look at these verses that actually have been controversial verses in the life of the church, we pray that you would give us a fresh understanding, and more than that, that you would give a fresh commitment to live out your word in our day-to-day lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we pick up chapter 2 in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is justified by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Well, you may be aware of the controversy that surrounds these verses, and you may be aware that sometimes people have believed that this conflicts sharply with Paul's gospel. I rejoice in the gospel that Paul preached, and I would invite you very much to join me in rejoicing. That gospel tells us that we are justified by faith and not by works. Justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned. We are declared righteous. God speaks over our lives and says we have a right standing, and we have that through simple faith in Jesus Christ. What Jesus has done, his grace, his death on the cross for us. This is Paul's gospel. Indeed, this is the gospel. This is where I want to nail my colours to the mast. This is where I want to stand. I know that I depend on grace, and that is appropriated by my simple faith. It's not what I do. It's not by works. In a very real sense, the only thing that I contribute to my salvation is my sin that needs forgiveness. It is all of grace, and it is all of God. So, does James contradict this? Some have thought so. You may know that a very significant figure in Christian history, Martin Luther, who we have already mentioned in respect of his views on communion, he felt that James really shouldn't be in the Bible. And he called it an epistle of straw, or a right strawy epistle, something that was flimsy, something that was lightweight, something that didn't quadrate with the gospel of grace. But I want to suggest to you that actually there is no contradiction, and the two approaches are complementary. And that true faith, saving faith, works itself out in deeds. Verse 22 is really important here, because here we see that faith and deeds go together. Speaking of the example of Abraham, James says, "You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did." Putting things another way, we are saved by faith alone, but true saving faith is never alone. When we do put our trust in Jesus, God comes to us by the Holy Spirit and makes his home with us and gives us new desires, gives us the new heart that has been referred to on a number of occasions in these episodes. Saving faith is transforming faith. So we are saved by faith alone. We are saved by God's grace. But he delivers us not only from the penalty and the power of sin, he gives us the power to live differently, and he urges us by his word and by his spirit to press on in the life of discipleship. And so James and Paul are actually in agreement. They believe in the same gospel, but they approach it from different angles. And we need to hear the challenge that James gives as people of grace. Most likely you know and you revere and you depend on the gospel of grace, and that is 100% right. But Paul, in the letter to the Romans, did have to engage with those who were engaging with his gospel and taking it as a license to sin. That is really what James is probing away at, and he is challenging. If you have received God's grace, don't use that as a license just to live your life any old how. True faith, saving faith, is faith that translates into practice. And so the question that James leaves us with today is, how do we put our faith into practice? How is our faith shown and seen? The two examples that he gives, Abraham and Rahab, both took risky steps of faith and were rewarded for it. How is our faith being shown? How will we put our faith into practice? And how will we do it today? Let's pause and come to our God in prayer and pray these powerful lessons into our lives. Lord, we thank you for the Pauline gospel, the gospel of amazing grace. Thank you that it's the gospel not only that he preached, but is the gospel of the whole Bible, grace and faith. Not by works, lest anyone should boast. We thank you that Jesus has done it all when he died on the cross. Thank you that when he cried out, "It is finished," it was all completed. There was no further price to pay. We praise you, we worship you, we give you thanks for this free and full forgiveness. But Lord, we praise you also for the truth that James brings to the surface for us today, we may be saved by faith alone, but true saving faith is never alone. It always works itself out in a changed life. Lord, we pray that today and in the days that lie ahead, our faith would be seen by what we do. Thank you especially now for the example of Rahab, someone who was an outsider, but a woman of deep faith who took a significant risk in sheltering the spies. Help us to be risky people of faith, faithful and creative in the way that we live as disciples. Show us the way. Show us how, O Lord, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.